we thank you that you make yourself known to us through your word. We pray, Father, that you'd speak to our hearts and minds today, that you bring us closer to yourself. Amen. Would you like to sit? Well, today, I think, this time of year, four candles, to me, can mean one of two things. One, we have a picture clue for here. Now, you see, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because Sue said, don't mention that, nobody will know what I'm talking about. If you don't know, then you can Google four candles, two Ronnies, and watch it on YouTube. But the other thing about four candles is probably a little more relevant to today's service. The four lit Advent candles tell us that this is the final episode in our Advent mini-series, where we're looking at prayers in the Bible, looking at ways to enrich our own prayer life through their example. And today, we're going to think about praying more like Simeon. Now, this prayer appears in the Anglican evening prayer liturgy and is often sung at evensong as well. And that's called the Nunc Dimittis, which is the first two words of Simeon's prayer in Latin. But this prayer, I don't think, is so much a model prayer as one that can teach us about attitude and preparation for prayer. Now, Simeon's prayer is recorded in Luke chapter 2, which we've just had read for us. And if you'd like to, if you've closed your Bibles, if you'd like to open them again at page 60, we're going to follow through this prayer and see what it means to us. Now, actually, the section that we had read to us was from verses 25 to 35. But I think we first of all have to have a quick look at 22 to 24 to see the context. When Jesus was 40 days old, Mary and Joseph travelled from Bethlehem to Jerusalem in order to present Jesus at the temple. And that would be a journey of round about 6 or 7 miles for them. According to the law of Moses, Mary was considered ceremonially unclean for 40 days after giving birth to a boy. After this time, it was required to make an offering of a lamb and a pigeon, or two pigeons for poorer people. And this was the case of Joseph and Mary. The priest would then declare Mary clean. Now, you can read more about that in Leviticus chapter 12. Once Mary's purification was complete, she, along with Joseph, were able to present Jesus at the temple. The firstborn child is to be set aside to the Lord, and when presented, the child is redeemed or bought back with an offering of 5 shekels. And there's more about that in Numbers chapter 18. Now, God had instituted this as a way to remind Israel of their deliverance from Egypt. It was to remind them of how God gave them the lives of their firstborn in response to placing the blood of a lamb over the door frames during the final plague. It was a picture of how Jesus, the Lamb of God, would redeem humankind by his blood. I think there's something to marvel at here at this scene. Joseph and Mary are paying this token redemption for the child who has come to pay the true and full redemption for the human race. Isn't that marvelous? This is when we meet Simeon. Now, we don't know very much about Simeon. He tends to be depicted as an old man, probably because of his opening words, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace." These words seem to imply the long-awaited fulfillment of a promise. It's as though the hopes, dreams, and longings have been fulfilled and the wait is over. The Lord can now take Simeon home. Advent, of course, is a time of waiting, time of waiting with hope. Most of us, I think, struggle in waiting on the Lord. We want instant answers to prayer. But Simeon has waited. He's waited with hope, and now his hope has been fulfilled. Some traditions have Simeon as a priest. Now, there's nothing in the Bible to say definitely that he was. But he was there in the temple, and Mary and Joseph did allow him to take Jesus in his arms as he prayed and prophesied. So he might have been a priest or some other temple official. What we are told, if you see in verse 25, is he was righteous and devout. Righteous suggests good conduct and fellowship towards his fellow humans. And devout suggests good conduct and fellowship with God. Now, if we also see in verse 25, he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Much of Israel, for many centuries, had been looking for the promised Messiah. And at this time, it seemed that most were looking for a warrior to deliver them from the Romans. But Simeon's words show that he had a much better understanding of the true purpose of Christ. And I think there's two reasons for this. And these are the reasons I think that can, if we want to pray more like Simeon, these are the reasons that we need to look at today and take into our heart and look at ourselves. The first is that we're told in verse 25, the Holy Spirit rested on him. And also, if you look at verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And then in verse 27, we see that he'd actually come into the temple at that time because he'd been guided by the Spirit to do so. So the Holy Spirit was very much a part of Simeon's life. But the Holy Spirit doesn't force himself on anyone. To be led by the Spirit, Simeon needed to be open to him, to take time to commune with him, puts time aside just to be with the Lord. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to all who received him as their Lord and Saviour. If we want to be praying more like Simeon, then we need to be more like Simeon. Open to the Holy Spirit, ready to be led by him, putting aside time to commune with him, putting aside time to be with the Lord. Now, the second reason that Simeon had a deeper understanding of God's purposes than most people is that he knew the scriptures. He was guided by them. Throughout the Old Testament, there's an outline of God's plan for the salvation of humankind. It's shown through the events of Bible history. It's shown in the law, which in Galatians, Paul calls the law our tutor to bring us to Christ. And God's plan is also shown through the Old Testament prophets. We'll have a look at some of the Old Testament that was relevant to the insight given in Simeon's prayer. We're going to look at that now. And we'll start with our reading that we had from Isaiah this morning. Now, this reading was part of what are known as the servant passages in Isaiah, the passages that specifically tell us about Jesus, that prepare us for Jesus. And they span across chapters 42 to 53. And the final verse of this morning's reading, which is verse 6 of chapter 49, says this of Jesus, and perhaps we could have it up on the... It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, can you see that Simeon's words in verses 30 to 32 echo this prophecy from Isaiah. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Have a look at those words from Isaiah and compare them with verses 30 to 32. I think Simeon was able to say these words in verses 30 to 32 because he already knew and understood the words in Isaiah. Okay, we can have that removed now, thank you. In verse 31, Simeon declares that the Messiah is for all peoples. Simeon understands that the good news of the Messiah is for all people, not just for Jews. He knows that salvation was about so much more than freeing Israel, Judah, from the hands of the Romans. And in verse 32, Simeon announces that Jesus is to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Revelation to the Gentiles, glory for your people Israel. He sees Jesus as the light of the world. For the Gentiles, he's a revelation revealing the way of salvation. For Israel, God's people, Jesus is glory, the realization of God's covenant with David. Isaiah had written about this glory and about how this light was for all nations. We'll have that one. Oh, no, thank you. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Simeon sees the fulfillment of this message from Isaiah in the child that he now holds in his arms. He also foresees that Jesus is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. Now this is a theme that Peter takes up in chapter 2 of his first letter. Can we have the next slide up now, please? This is from 1 Peter chapter 2. But look in the red where Peter's sources came from. Isaiah, Psalm, Isaiah. So the first part he says, for it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. See, why did Simeon foresee and understand that Jesus is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed? How did he know that? Because he knew what Isaiah had written. Isaiah had pictured a picture of Jesus as being a cornerstone to those who receive him, but a stumbling block to those who do not. And clearly, this was not lost on Simeon. And in verse 35, he goes on to say, the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. Okay, we can... Thanks. Now, your thoughts are revealed by where you stand. That's what Simeon means when he says, the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. We can ask ourselves the question, is Jesus my cornerstone or is he my stumbling block? Do you recall how slow the disciples were at understanding the true purpose of Jesus' coming, even though he spelt it out to them time and time and time again? Still, it took them a long time to get it. And yet Simeon shows such insight and understanding of God's purposes for the Messiah. How can that be? Well, it's because he's read and digested God's word, and he's been open to the Holy Spirit in teaching him the meaning of Scripture. Simeon only had the Old Testament, but he understood so much, and his prayer is drawn from his understanding of it. Simeon was a man who had steeped himself in God's word, a man of prayer, led by the Spirit. If we want to pray more like Simeon, then we must be more like Simeon. Spending time with God's word, not just skim reading, but reading deeply. This well-known section in Luke's Gospel that we've read today can be just skimmed over or recited as a set prayer in liturgy. But a deeper reading gives us a deeper understanding of God's purposes as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us through. Now, I'm preaching to myself here as much as to anybody. I'm not somebody here who said, just be like me, I've got it all right. I'm so easily distracted from spending quality time with the Lord and his word. But you know, on the occasions when I do, I'm always glad I have. I always think, why don't I do this more often? So I'm really grateful for this mini-series on prayer, because it's challenged me that I'm not where I should be, not where I'd like to be. And it's given me some help and some prompts as to what I need to do to get a bit closer. So it's been of great benefit to me, this little mini-series. I hope it has for you. Let's pray. Father, forgive our inertia. Please help us to be more like Simeon, so that through reading your word, guided by your Spirit, our minds are renewed and we are able to discern your good and perfect will. Amen.